Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to a very special episode of the Empire Podcast. This one is dedicated to one of the biggest hits of the year and one of my favorite films of the year, as it happens, the rollicking racing drama F1 or F1 the movie, whichever title works for you. It is, of course, Joseph Kosinski's film, which stars Brad Pitt and Damson Idris as two drivers on a struggling Formula One team who have to learn to put aside their differences in an attempt to win. One race. Just a single race. That's all they want. The movie was shot with the cooperation of Formula One and all its teams and drivers and principals at 9 Grand Prix across the world, and is an often exhilarating experience that puts you as close as you can get to being behind the wheel of an F1 car without subjecting yourself to hideous G-forces. It's also a reunion for Kosinski and his Top Gun Maverick producer, the legendary Jerry Bruckheimer, and ahead of F1's debut on Apple TV, which is today, Friday, December 12th, I sat down with Bruckheimer at Claridge's, the top London hotel that played a small part in the development of the movie. Bruckheimer, of course, should need no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He is a legendary producer, the man behind, sometimes with his former partner, the late Don Simpson, iconic movies like Beverly Hills Cop, Flashdance, Top Gun, The Rock, Con Air, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Top Gun Maverick, and of course, F1. It's been a hell of a career, and while our conversation was focused on F1 and the challenges of making it, we touched upon how things have changed for him as a producer over the last 50 years, including his previous car movie, Days of Thunder. I loved doing this interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Here is Jerry Bruckheimer. The legendary Jerry Bruckheimer, welcome to the Empire Podcast. How are you, sir?
Chris, it's great to be here, and thanks for having me. I don't know about the legend part of it, but...
You know, the number of people I introduce in the podcast is legendary, and they all say, I don't know about the legendary part.
Yeah.
Have you looked at your IMDb recently?
Because I don't. I actually don't. I just worry about the next one.
Because that deserves a sobriquet, legendary, believe me. You have made some amazing films. F1, of course, is just one of the latest. Congratulations on the film's success.
Thank you so much.
I was looking at it today, and it has bucked a trend. There's been a bit of a worldwide trend this year at the box office of films doing pretty much internationally what they did domestically. F1 has bucked that trend big time.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? What's the reason for that, do you think?
Well, America is not in tune with F1 yet. And after the movie, it is. But they never heard of it. I mean, when you ask somebody, are you going to go see F1? They'll say, what's that?
Yes.
They have no idea.
They looked down their keyboard for the...
Screenings, screenings, and they're blind recruits. So the people don't know what they're seeing. All they know is a summer movie.
Yeah.
So they come in. And then you take a focus group of 20 people after the movie and you ask them questions. So the first question is, how many of you are aware of F1? One hand goes up out of 20. And one of the women raises her hand and said, when I heard it was a racing movie, I wanted to get up and leave. I really couldn't care about racing. But after seeing it, I love it. I'm going to tell all my friends to go see it. So it's a struggle to get them in. But once we get him in, it's the word of mouth that kept the movie going as long. I mean, it's still going.
It's still going. Yeah. It's got plenty of petrol in the tank, so to speak. But that's fascinating. So as a producer, one hand goes up. I know F1. Everyone else in the room, they keep your hands down. That must be nerve-wracking at that point. You're going, oh my word, how are we going to get this? How are we going to get people in the first place? Because once we got them in, it's great.
The key is the word of mouth.
Yeah.
And once you start the movie, and it had a nice opening, not a huge, but it just kept going and kept going and kept going all summer. It just played and played and played. And then they put it in August. It was playing so well, they put it back on IMAX.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, the highest grossing movie on IMAX this year.
Yeah. Yeah, which is pretty amazing. So take me back to the beginning. So you do this focus group. You ask the question, who knows F1? One hand goes up in the room. When did you first hear the words F1? When did you first know of F1?
Well, I was aware of it, but I didn't really know much about it.
Yeah. Because I guess during Days of Thunder, you would be aware of the rivals and all the races.
And they would all say that F1 is, there's always one guy that's always going to win. It's not, you know, it's about the car, not the driver.
Yeah.
So NASCAR, they say it's about the driver, of course.
Yeah.
But they're just going around in circles, so F1 is a lot harder to drive. But it was great to be a part of it. It was fantastic to get inside their world. And what I love is I make process movies, some of them, not all of them, where we take you inside a world you'll never be a part of and show you how it actually works. And that's what F1 did for an American audience and even for a worldwide audience, because you don't know all the inner workings that we showed them and how important tire changes are and all the different things that go on in that world.
Qualifying and all that sort of stuff. So how did it first start for you, this movie?
We were finishing Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
And I'm working with Joe Kaczynski, who we hired to do that film. And he comes to me and says, you know, I've been watching the show Drive to Survive. And what's interesting about it is they're focusing on the last place teams, the teams that never get a point. And for me, that's kind of interesting. And he came up with a storyline that was really intriguing. And he had met Lewis Hamilton during the making of Top Gun because Tom was a friend of his. And Lewis called Tom and said, I'd like to be in the movie. So Joe and Lewis talked. And when Joe said, well, we'll need you for about 4 months, Lewis says, wait a second. I have a day job. Yes. I can't give you 4 months. So Joe called Lewis, and we met him for lunch in Los Angeles when he was there. And we said, here's the idea for the movie. We want to make the most authentic racing movie ever made. And we want you to be our partner. And he said, you know, I love movies. I'd love to do it. And that's how it all started with Lewis. Then we called. Joe had worked with Brad not in developing something that never happened. So he called up Brad, and he said, I have this idea for a film. You know, can we talk? And Brad came over to Joe's house, and they sat and chatted, and he told him the story. And the one thing Brad said, if we're going to do this, I have to drive. You know, no blue screen, no wind machines, none of the normal tricks that we do. Mm. And Joe said, it's the only way I want to make the movie. And then what we did is we hired Aaron Kruger, who did Top Gun Maverick, as a writer.
Yeah.
And he fleshed out the story, and then we pitched it to 9 different studios. And they all bid on it. But Apple raised their hand and said, we understand how you want to make it, and we agree with you. That's the way to make this movie. Make it for real. Okay, so we got a studio now. We need to get F1. That's the next.
Okay, so you hadn't called F1 at this point.
No.
All right, okay.
But we'd met with Toto.
Yeah.
Because Lewis was on Mercedes that year. And Toto said, I think we'll build the car for you. And then we went to Stefano, who's the head of F1. Mm. And Joe was very smart about this because he brought Brad with us. And we called and said, would you like to have a meeting with Brad Pitt and Joe and myself? And nobody's going to say no to Brad Pitt. That was the clincher. So we sit down, we talked to Stefano, we explained the kind of movie we wanted to be. He got very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And then Joe brought over Top Gun Maverick. It hadn't been released yet. It was 3 months prior to the release.
Oh, my God.
And screened it for the people at F1.
Okay.
And you could see smiles when they walked out of the screening room after seeing that movie. And they were, Stefano got really more excited after he saw Top Gun Maverick. So what do you do? So you have 10 teams, 10 key principals, and then you have 20 drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe explained to Stefano, we want to be at 9 different races. We want to film it on your tracks. We want to be there during the beginning of some of the races with the crowd all around us. We want to have our car on the track with Brad and Damson driving. And he said, let's see if we can figure it out. And somehow we did. And it was amazing what we had. They embedded one of their employees named Tim Bampton, and he was phenomenal. He had worked for McLaren for a while, and now he's working for F1. So he was with us every day to kind of grease the wheels. So now you have that. Then you have to talk to the team principals because that year, it was a battle between Red Bull and Mercedes. They didn't like each other.
Yes, that's true. Understatement, I think, Jerry, but okay.
So since Lewis is driving for Mercedes,
yeah,
and Mercedes is building our car, mm-hmm. Christian for sure was going to be the villain in his mind. And, you know, Max felt, they all felt the same way. So it took us a year.
Wow.
To go around and meet with every principal, meet with the drivers. But what we did is Joe put together a reel on how he made Top Gun Maverick. Mm. Since there are no Russian jets, the F-14 doesn't fly anymore. What we did was we took an F-18 and used that, and then we skinned it with an F-14 digitally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it had the aerodynamics of a plane, yeah. Yet it was, we just changed it to a different body shape. And we said, we're going to do the same thing with, so he showed him how he did Maverick. And then we took one of their races, a clip from one of their races, and put our car in it. We skinned one of their cars and put our car in the race.
Okay, yeah.
So they could see the process on how flawless it was going to be and how Joe was going to direct the movie. And it took, I mean, they got used to us being around the track all for those 9 races and even more. So I became friendly with a lot of the team principals, and I think they were very happy with the movie when they saw it. They, you know, that was pretty interesting.
I can imagine they would be. So the first race that you were at, correct me if I'm wrong, was it the British Grand Prix?
Yes.
Okay. So what was that like?
It was pretty scary for Brad and Damson because they were driving in front of 140,000 people. We drove between practice and qualifying.
Yeah.
So we had like 8-10 minute slots with a stopwatch because you can't hold up the race. Then we did a scene actually on the beginning of the race when all the cars are lined up, and we had our actors stand in for the national anthem next to Max and everybody else, yeah. Lewis. And then we did a scene right after that, and that scene took 6 minutes. But before we could do it, we had to rehearse it in front of the FIA, and they had a stopwatch. So they timed it to make sure it was actually 6 minutes. And then Joe rehearsed it for weeks to make sure he could make it. Now, he didn't want to do it just all handheld. He wanted to make it feel like a real movie,
yeah.
And not shaky or anything. So technically, it was even more difficult. So the actors, they better be on their marks because they did it once or twice and that was it. They were done.
No forgetting your lines, no flubbing.
No.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like
if you that. Get it out of focus, we are screwed.
Yeah.
Jeepers. So, Jerry, I mean, again, I don't know if you've seen your IMDb recently, but there's a lot of great movies on there. But
thank you.
Has there ever been, can you recall, such a fraught situation where we have 6 minutes to get this, and if we don't get this, we haven't got this. We're not coming back. They're not going to put on the British Grand Prix again for us. Have you ever had a situation like that before in your career?
Working with the Navy and dealing with aircraft carriers and planes, and we had certain slots and time periods, but nothing is as like this.
Oh my God.
This was the pinnacle. But you know what? It was such a great experience, and the people were so wonderful to us. I mean, the cooperation we got from all the people at F1, all the different teams. The moment for me, so there's a red flag at the very end of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. And you see all these cars. You have 10 teams lined up with 20 cars. Mm-hmm. That was real. That was in Abu Dhabi. Every single team participated in that with full crews, their drivers. It was amazing.
Yeah.
They were all lined up there. It had to be at least an hour. I think we had 1 hour to get that shot.
Also in Abu Dhabi, you have that amazing shot of, I spoke to Joe for the podcast when the movie came out.
Yeah.
He was telling me about the shot where Sonny wins and Javier Bardem has to react to that while fireworks are going off behind him. And that's a one take deal. And if he doesn't get that right, then that's it. Again, they're not coming back. I mean, that's a hell of a thing. That's a hell of a way to end
the
shoot.
And you know what we did is we had to shoot 2 endings because we didn't want the audience to know that Brad's going to win. So we shot one with Damson winning and Brad winning. But you know what? I've been here now for 4 or 5 days, and we've had screenings for BAFTA and for, you know, some of the Golden Globes, all the people that live here, and the Academy. What's interesting to see how many people haven't seen the movie. It's unbelievable. In our screenings, we've had about five of them or six of them. I'd say 80% of the audience hadn't seen the movie.
Wow.
I mean, they're thrilled when they see it.
Yeah.
But they hadn't gone out to see it. So it's really been a worthwhile trip, because what we want to get across, this movie was made here in England, other than going to all the different tracks, with a full British crew.
Yep.
I mean, it's really a British production, this movie. And it was phenomenal, that just the how they were so organized that they could get these things done in 6 minutes, 10 minutes, 8 minutes. I mean, our AD department, everybody, you know, Toby, who did a phenomenal job on organizing everything, make sure everything happened on time. Mm. It was a great experience.
Do you feel you're in this week for award screenings, as you said? Right. Do you feel the momentum building with this movie in the way that it did with Maverick? Because Maverick obviously was a huge box office success.
Right.
It's amazing
kiss
film.
Of death.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Because awards bodies can tend to be a little bit snobby about films that make over a billion, say.
Yeah.
But Maverick powered its way on this wave of momentum to, you know, Best Picture nomination, Best Screenplay nomination, all that sort of stuff. Do you feel that you can maybe feel that with this movie that is heading in that direction as well?
Yeah, Apple loves this movie so much. It's done so well. It's their first really big, successful movie. And from the top down, from Tim to Eddie Q, they love this film. They really leaned in to make it as good as it can be. Mm. Even during a strike, I mean, we went to them and said, we want to continue shooting. We could shoot a lot of the car stuff and the race stuff in the year. We went to 9 races and then came back the following year with actors to fill it in. And so they were so terrific with us. I mean, look, they make quality products, and this is a quality film, and they're very proud of it. So they're supporting it. And we're going on streaming, I think, December 12th, which is another reason we're over here to promote that.
Again, traditionally, these days, the window from cinematic release to streaming release is so short. Sometimes it's a matter of a couple of weeks, it feels like. It's usually 45 days. But in this case, this is months. So you and Apple have been very, very clear about allowing the film to play out theatrically and about allowing people to discover it theatrically and have those legs or wheels in this case.
Yeah, it's you want to see it on a big screen. It's great. It's great at home. It's great to see it again. We've had such enormous repeat business on this movie, but people have seen it more than once. When we go to these screenings, and I'll say 80% hadn't seen it, but the 20 that had, it's their fourth or fifth time. So
that's what you want.
It's the reason I'm in this business.
Yeah.
Is to put big entertainment on a big screen and move people emotionally. It's got a beautiful emotional through line it, and that's what makes it the success. We're great at filming cars or explosions or speed, or we're fabulous at it. But we got to get that emotion. That's what makes it, for me, work. And the same thing with Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
It had that emotional through line. And that's that emotional resonance that carries through. And that's why the word of mouth is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because people feel something. We move them. We make them feel about these characters. And it's a redemption story. It's everybody wants that. Everyone makes mistakes and wants to come back and win. And that's the kind of movies that I think people enjoy. And they certainly have enjoyed this one, considering if America had been as big as the rest of the world, it would have been over $1 billion.
Absolutely. But it's a film that is also, it's a great experiential film. Also, I was speaking to Joe about how each race is visually different. And the final race, I mean, one of my favorite moments of the year cinematically is that sort of final POV shot where Sonny is in Abu Dhabi and everything just melts away. And we get, I think it's for the first time in the movie, we just get a sense of what it's like to be at the wheel of that thing. And all the sound fades away and you're just locked into it. Was that something that, you know, you and Joe were very, very keen to do, to exploit the visual possibilities of of F1 and off speed, which is actually quite a difficult thing to capture on camera.
You know, it all came from, we were here at this hotel.
Yeah.
With Lewis Hamilton, Brad Pitt, myself, Joe, Jeremy, another one of the producers. And we spent 8 hours in a room going through every single line of the movie. And we get to that scene on the balcony, and Lewis says, when it's working, when you feel the car and you have an opportunity to win, everything fades away and you're floating. And that's where that scene came from, right out of his mouth.
Amazing.
And we've talked to other drivers. They feel the same way.
Yeah. You're in commune with whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You and the car become one.
That's extraordinary. Have you ever been behind the wheel of one of these beasts, Jerry?
Well, first of all, you can't, because an F2 driver takes 2 to 3 weeks to get used to an F1 car.
Yeah.
That's how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And they mold the seat to your body. It's not like you just jump in a sports car and take
it's
off.
Like it's like a Toyota.
Yeah.
Or a Honda Civic.
Yeah. I mean, these kids start when they're between 5 and 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they drive and drive, and then they go to these academies and race open wheel in Italy when they're 11, 12. And if you're really, really good, and if you come from a wealthy family, they take care of you. If you're not a wealthy family, you got to go and get sponsors or have teams, you know, take you under their wing. Mm. So it's a difficult, very difficult sport. And the way they pick the drivers, first of all, you got to be a phenomenal driver. You start there. Mm. Then you have to be charismatic. You have to be good looking because you're representing a brand. And you look at all those drivers, they all could be actors. They're all handsome. They can be Brad Pitts. They're terrific individuals, just dealing with them and the amount of competition. And it's like a fraternity, even though when they're on the track, they want to, you know, win, and they'll do whatever they have to do to win.
Yeah.
But when they're off the track, they're congenial and friendly to one another. So it's fascinating.
How are you as a driver?
I'm not very good. They keep inviting me to go out to one of these tracks and drive one of these cars. And I say, I don't think so.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. Absolutely. When this movie was first brought up, the prospect of doing this, were you slightly trepidatious about going back into the world of racing and doing another racing movie? Because, you know, I know that Days of Thunder, great movie, but it was a tumultuous shoot at times. I think that's probably fair to say.
I don't remember that. I guess you black out the paint, but it wasn't terrible.
You're taking the fifth, Jerry? I like that.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. You know, the key for me is that, and I'll tell you first a story about F1.
Yeah.
So we're in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. We're at the very end, and Brad is on his last lap. Okay. Finishes his last lap. He gets out of the car, and he's so depressed because he can't drive anymore.
Oh, my God.
It was my happiest moment. Because nobody got hurt. And it's the same thing with Days of Thunder. For F1, we built 6 cars, okay?
Yeah.
For Days of Thunder, we built 35 cars. And at the end of Days of Thunder, we didn't have one car left that could move. They were all trashed and destroyed. We have all 6 of our F1 cars all intact, and they're being displayed around the world.
Amazing. Jerry, you've got to let it go in a second, but I'm curious about how what you do and how you approach what you do has changed over the years. For example, you've been producing now since the 70s. Farewell, My Lovely is 50 years old this year. What was the Jerry Bruckheimer approach to producing like back then, and has it changed dramatically over the years?
Well, the only thing that's changed is that, you know, I've been doing it a long time, so I know there's almost nothing you can't fix. We'll figure out a way to get it fixed. When I first started, I was worried about everything. I still worry about everything, but I know there's a path to make it right. Now it's changed because the business has changed. We didn't have streamers.
Yeah.
When I started, there were 3 TV channels in my hometown in Detroit. That was it.
Yeah.
Now there are hundreds of TV channels. So many more opportunities for people, even though they say it's shrinking, all this stuff about the business. there's so many more places to sell what you want to make than there were before. And all these platforms have to keep putting new product on. They can't just sit back because they'll people dump their subscriptions. So that's why it's really, for me, it's exciting. And for actors and writers and directors, so you do a show for streaming, right? You have new actors in it. We see it and say, well, that could be a movie star, or that's a terrific writer, or that's a great director.
Okay.
And so we build from all the stuff that we see that's streaming, or and you have different languages on streamers that you would never see. Shows from here, from all over the world. It's a great time, I think. And even though the press loves to say, you know, this movie tanked and that movie tanked, if we make something they want to see, they line up. I mean, look at Minecraft. It's $1 billion.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Look at us, an unknown title, especially in the U.S.
Yeah.
And we did $631 million, plus the money they're making on pay-per-view now. Yeah. I mean, it's a huge success. The movie worked for an audience. And that's what my job is, to make something that they want to stand in line and pay money for and enjoy while they're watching. That's the key to what I do. And whatever we have to do to get to that point, we try to do it. If we have to go back and pick up scenes or shots or whatever, we do it. We try to please when an audience, we want to give the audience a real experience.
What's the most important decision that you as producer can make before a film begins?
It's always the material. You got to have great material. It's all, the writers are the keys to our business, no matter what you say. You have a great writer, a great director, and get great actors, and you got something special. But you don't get the great actors or the great directors unless you have a great script. So it all starts there.
Yeah, a lot of people don't consider the script to be too important these days, and some maybe that shows. All right, Jerry, I'll let you go. But at the beginning, you said that, you know, I was talking about your incredible IMDb filmography, and you were saying that the most important one is the next one for you. So there's a couple of next ones I wanted to talk to you about very briefly. One is obviously this movie. Is there a sequel coming?
We're
it won't be F2, because obviously that's dropping down in class and speed.
We're talking about it.
Okay.
We had a meeting with Lewis Hamilton when he was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to him about it, and hopefully we'll get to go to Vegas and sit with him again.
That would be nice. So you're hopeful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. Keep an eye on that one. The other one is Heat 2.
Right.
Which you are producing with Michael Mann.
Yes.
And what can you say about that? I'm tremendously excited.
Well, it's a great book.
Oh, it is.
And a chance to read the book. You got to read the book.
I've read the book, yeah.
And it's also fabulous screenplay. It really is. So we're excited. I mean, Michael, I did his first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me about 2 months ago and said, would you come back? he said, let me send you a script. And I read it and I said, sure, I'd love to do it.
Jerry Bruckheimer, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, that was Jerry Bruckheimer. And you're getting these interviews in the order in which I did them, folks, which means that next up is the glorious combo of Damson Idris, the British actor who plays Joshua Pierce, the teammate of Pitt's Sonny Hayes, and the Irish actress Kerry Condon. Yes, the voice of Friday in the MCU. And yes, I chickened out from doing my impression of Friday to her. Your man's in the church, boss. Sorry. Condon plays Kate, the technical director for the APX GP team in the movie, and together the two of them were just a ruddy delight. I had a ton of fun doing this interview, as you're about to hear. Here they are, Kerry Condon, Damson Idris. Enjoy. Kerry, Damson, welcome to the Empire Podcast. How are you both?
Pretty good.
Splendid.
Yeah? Okay, good. He's splendid. You're only pretty good. Why? What's wrong?
Well, you know, I don't want to peak too soon. I'll be splendid after the
interview. Don't show them all your pods. Smart play.
We'll see how you are in 30 minutes or so.
Exactly.
Can I start with a bit of light admin for you guys? So I was looking at your IMDb pages earlier on, just to see what you were doing next. I am aware of what you've done. Apparently, you're in a film called F1.
Yeah.
News to me, but there you go. So I was looking at your, you know those mini biographies that are on your IMDb profiles?
Yeah.
No.
You need to update yours Both. Or you need to have someone update yours.
Well, it depends.
So, Damson, yours finishes.
I told you that I needed to update.
Wait, we hear
there's
it, though.
People
I
in the
don't
room
know.
Right now say, thank you for bringing this up. I told you a month ago.
What does it
this
say?
Is, this is a this live.
Pretty old.
We've never had a live firing on the Emperor podcast before. This is exciting.
Hard to fire your
All right,
sister.
So Damson says his latest lead role is in Netflix's action sci-fi film Outside the Wire, brackets 2021, close brackets.
Wow.
No mention of F1.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say. Kerry.
But it says 2021, so then anyone reading it will know that that's old.
I know, precisely.
That's fine.
Look at you, Kerry
Condon is Irish television film actress. So far, we're good.
Yeah, do we need to generalize my nationality? Is that necessary as an actress? But sure, yeah, go on.
Wait, who put the bio? You or someone
Not
else?
Not me. I can't even send
an agent that ain't on the team anymore.
All right. Best known for her role as Octavia in Rome, as Stacey Ehrmantraut in Better Call Saul.
Okay.
And as the voice of Friday in various films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. No mention of Banshees of Inisherin. No mention of F1. We get
you
to
got,
the end.
You got to get the Banshees end. In there. Dog.
And
come
you know,
on,
it's just about Rome and Walking Dead. Kerry, what's going on?
I believe like most people will be watching those things as opposed to reading IMDb. I'd like to think that, right?
That's what they're doing. And then someone else will have to go on and go, I've just seen F1. I need to update this.
And also, you know,
this.
Maybe it tells people, don't believe everything you read.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that is
Mine's
it.
Mine's going to be updated in 35 minutes.
By yourself.
Yeah. We'll update it for F1. All right, let's talk F1 then, whilst you guys prepare to do your admin. So this hotel that we're in right now, I think we can say where it is because it's coming out a month after we're here, so no one can stalk us, which is good. we're in Claridge's, and this is a very, very important hotel, isn't it, for you guys in many ways. I know, Damson, this is kind of what your first meeting was.
Yeah, man.
This movie.
This is actually where, when I flew to London and we kind of workshopped like three scenes, me, Lucy, Joe, and Jerry, it was in this building. I remember there was construction outside and we're taping. It's an intense scene between me and Brad and someone, I'm saying someone, they were fixing a road outside as London does every second.
Yeah.
So it's like drilling and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to get this part. So then I just started getting louder and louder. And it was the scene when I tell Sonny, I climbed the mountain to get here. So I'm like, if I'm louder than this thing outside, I think I'm going to have a shot at getting this. And hey, 2 years later.
I didn't know that it was here in Claridge's.
Right here, Yeah, right here.
Bloody hell. So when you walk into the lobby, do you get chills? Do you get little flashbacks?
Yeah.
Or did you leave that meeting sweating?
It's probably just from the actual weather of London. It's freezing.
Kerry, what about yourself? Was this hotel crucial to your F1 journey?
No, I didn't. I just met in Los Angeles for it. But we did our press tour here in June. So I have nice memories of
That's
being
nice.
Here for that.
I've
yeah.
been asked the same question over and over and over again.
Well, you know, it was a beautiful time. I was happy to release the movie because we worked in it for like 2 years. So I wanted everyone to see it, but no, so I have no other connections to Claridge's.
All right. So what was your first meeting on the movie? Did you have to get louder to drown out roadworks?
I just had a chat with Joe. I met Joe, our director, in Los Angeles quite a long time before the movie and was even in pre-production or anything at his office in Los Angeles.
And that's where I met them too.
Okay.
I got lucky though because I was doing a general with Joe in 2022.
Bet that was the same time.
But it was released that they were going to make an F1 movie in 2022. So my savvy team were like, you should meet Kaczynski, go in there and like rub shoulders. So I met him in his office and then Jerry walks in. So then I have a whole meeting with them.
Serendipity.
Exactly. And then many months after, I read the script in LA in like a dark room.
Okay.
NDAs. And then came to London, did those scenes.
Closer to the time we were meeting. Okay.
It was more of like a workshop. The real thing that I would say when people are like, oh, how did you get this part? I was like, I had to do a driving test.
Yeah.
In Bedford Palmers. So if I had crashed that day, you know, Joshua Pierce would be Daniel Kaluuya.
Well, that's not true, because if you'd have crashed, it depends on how you overcame the crash. Because didn't they said that you showed ability, that you were willing to learn, and that you were, I think that went in your favor. I think
we both would have fired each other. Like, we both would have fired me. Like, after the crash, I would have been like, I don't think I could do this.
I think you still might have had a shot.
Baywatch 15, please. Oh, I'd rather do that.
That's amazing. Kerry, what was your way in, and what was your preparation for Kate?
So once I got the job, we were sent to a Grand Prix in Barcelona.
Okay.
That was the first thing that Joe's, because I'd never been to a Grand Prix race before. And so we went to do that and met like a lot of the F1 people, and just were basically there for the weekend to just watch and hang out and just kind of take it in. There was a lot of heads of department there doing other stuff too. And that's where I met Bernie Collins, who then was a strategist in real life and was from Ireland. And she, my job in the movie is kind of like technical director slash strategist. Yes. So it's a kind of a little artistic license that we have her kind of doing both.
Yeah.
But Bernie did strategist in real life. And then I just kind of like latched on to Bernie because she was from Ireland, and asked her, how did you get into this? Like, where'd you go to college and blah, 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 blah. And just then I had her helping me for different scenes and stuff.
Amazing. So did you, right from the off in your first meetings with Joe, were you playing Kate as Irish, or was it, were you inspired by
no,
Bernie?
No, they never debated me to being anybody other than who they had met. So it was just like a given that I was going to be. Because Formula One is a very international sport. Mm-hmm. So it's not bizarre that there would be an Irish accent. It's not strange. Mm-hmm. If anything, there should be more accents. And there is in the movie. We have all different nationalities, because that's the world of Formula One.
It would almost be strange if she'd been American.
A little bit. Or actually English. Yeah. Like, it would have been, it's not, it would have been strange. It just would have been unnecessary. You know, like, why would I be putting on an accent when it could have just been Irish? No,
Irish is too sweet to have it any other way.
Formula One is a team sport.
Yeah. Thank you. And I also had plenty of other things to be occupying my mind with, besides an accent. So,
oof, yeah.
All right. Such as
my headphones, my props, my saying the dialogue in a way that the audience who doesn't know anything about Formula One will understand it. And yet people who do know Formula One will feel like I say it all the time, and all sorts of different. And then we were shooting live when they were filming, when they were really doing the races, we were filming our movie. So it was this radical idea that Joe was like, yeah, so it's going to be kind of live. So you're only going to get like two takes, maybe three. It was wild, but I was like, it was so much fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing to be operating under those stakes, I think. Just like the theater,
really, yeah.
Where
yeah.
you only have one take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So and many of us come from that. So it was nice to kind of bounce around in that world again.
Because I spoke to Jerry just before you guys came in here, and he was telling me about, you know, the first race, the British Grand Prix. And exactly what you were saying, Kerry, you have 6 minutes to do a scene, and you have two takes max, and you can't flub, you can't fuck it up. You have to hit your marks, you have to hit everything. The camera can't be out of focus. Just talk me through that. Was that
it was a real teamwork, terrifying? Wasn't it? It was all, we all bought, like the crew and the cast and everybody.
Everyone was laser focused. Mm. I remember one time during a red flag scene, I had the helmet on and I'm sat in a car and I'm looking at everyone, the crew and everyone, and Joe, his eyes, like he was so laser focused, and he's like orchestrating this huge machine. And, you know, it was purely down to the FIA. As Jerry probably mentioned, we'd have to rehearse with a stopwatch and then let the FIA know that, look, we can do this in 6 minutes. And they're like, by the way, it has to be six. Sometimes we'd pull it off so well that we'd get a cheeky last take in there and be all excited to play. But no one ever got their lines wrong, really, which was another thing.
I was just about to ask. Come on, you can tell me.
Man, no one got, everyone was so ready, and you better be. The odd weird thing would happen. We'd rehearse one way and then me and Brad would have to walk side by side. But then during a take, Carlos Sainz wants to walk exactly where I'm supposed to walk. So now I've got to kind of like change, bounce around him. That's the stuff that was happening. Or maybe a car wouldn't start during the kind of formation lap, so then everyone would have to run out and push it into the pits. Like those moments there that obviously aren't in the film, where we had like many heart attacks. But apart from that, it was just a well-oiled, orchestrated machine between our crew, of course, and Formula One. And there's no other way we could have made the movie.
It was so much fun at the end of those days, too. Do you remember we'd
high five, we'd
have a cheers and we'd all be so high because it was just such an amazing feeling that like we all did it.
And then we'd sit down and watch the race. Like,
We'd
do a 6-minute take. And then we'd watch the race.
We'd watch the real race flying past us out the garage. Oh, yeah, it was so great.
So cool, man. It was amazing.
We were very prepared too. Like Joe was so prepared. So I think that's why when it came to shooting them live, we weren't so much nervous because we'd prepared so much. Mm. It was actually more like, let's do it. Like now we've prepared, let's go. And I think that was the AD department were very helpful. There was nothing like, if there was anything that was bothering you or making you worried, you could flag it beforehand and it would be ironed out. So by the time it came to doing it, it was more like you were excited to do it.
And as each race went on, because you guys did 9 in total, ending off obviously at Abu Dhabi, did it get easier in a way, or did the adrenaline ever threaten to subside? Like, oh, this is old news. We did this 2 weeks ago. No. I've got this in my sleep. No,
I'm scared now. And the movie's already out.
Abu Dhabi was the last one, and even at that, like, that was so tense.
Wow, it was a new challenge every single time, you know. And I mean, if you really think about the whole process, it was around 2 years, right? But just from the driving element, me and Brad trained for about 4 to 5 months, and then we got better because during the strike we'd go off and train again,
right?
So the actor strike happened, and then we got a chance to actually, all right, we're kind of bad, like maybe we should like get better. Well, I was bad, so maybe let's go and train some more. And
how bad going left when you should be going right? What's the deal?
Man, it's the gears, you know. Sometimes you'd be in the wrong gear at certain turns, and that's the beauty of this film. And just in editing as well, Joe would say that when he was editing with Lewis would be like, oh man, you're going through cops there in the third gear. I wouldn't be in the third gear, I'd be in like the sixth gear.
That just shows you though, his ear, you know, he's so used to it. He knows the sound of the gears.
Yeah. You know, I tried to do turn 13 and 14 in Austin, Texas in gear 5, and I found out very quickly why Formula One is a dangerous sport. Spun like crazy, this close to the wall.
Jesus.
And I got excited because I was behind my stunt driver, Craig Dolby, and it was for the first time ever. I was like, oh my, I'm getting really close. I'm going to beat him. And I'm driving. And just when I'm about to beat him.
Like Joshua.
Just like, this close to the wall. Yeah. So again, F1 would have been played by Daniel.
Only not flying through the air Joshua did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a good moment.
Yeah. And you know, it going back to what it took to get into the mindset of these characters, like I said, there was so much love given to us from the FIA and Formula One. But I had a conversation with Grosjean before that scene, and he was able to walk me through the mind state you'd be in when those flames are going. So again, I've never said that publicly, but I tip my hat to him for assisting me and walking through that trauma and letting me understand exactly how Joshua would feel in that moment where you're out of it. You know, you're thinking, will I give up? But then you remember all the people who love you and why it's so important to get out. And I love that scene because no matter how many people are in a theater, you can hear a pinch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great moment in the sense that.
Yeah. You can hear it. Mm. You can absolutely hear it. That's extraordinary. Mm. And then the panic, I guess. You have to fight that initial panic. I'm being engulfed in flames. Yeah. Clearly something's gone very, very bad. But, you know, you got to trust in the process, right? You got to trust in everything that you're caked in, that your suit's going to be fire resistant to the point that you can get out. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hell of a thing. Wow. And Kerry, what was it like? Were you on set watching that stunt as well? Obviously, Damson wasn't in the car when it went flying through the air.
But I think think I was there. I went that scene that day because I had to talk to Joe about something, but I can't remember what it was. But then I left because it was my day off, and I was like, you know, good luck, guys. Well, listen, at the same time, I'm old school, right? So, like, I'm of a thing where you can't just sit at the monitor when someone else is performing. Like, it's a private space. Like, okay. That's how I was trained, and you can't just sit around like we're all hanging out. It's a work environment. If I'm not needed, I shouldn't be there.
Okay.
I was at a monitor watching Kerry every day.
Right, yeah.
Let me steal some acting tips.
I hate people being at the monitor when I don't know.
She blinks right before the line. I'm going to miss
it. I know. So I know. So like that, you know, we were on tracks and stuff like that. And it's such a busy, intense environment. And I just, you know, come on. It's not like we're all in summer camp.
Yes.
Skedaddle. Yeah, until you're needed.
Get the hell out of here. Kerry, you, in terms of shaping Kate, he's a really, really fascinating character. I mean, can you talk about, did you work with Aaron Kruger on crafting her?
Yeah, no, it was more like, honestly, again, it came from Joe because he was very, just have fun. He was like, just have fun. And like, that was really the biggest note that I got. And so it was bizarre to work on something with so much money on the line and such a massive role. And yet, honestly, it was the most fun I'd ever had on any job in my life because Joe was just like, just have fun. And just give me options and I'll fill them in. Just have fun. And that was basically how I rolled for the whole thing.
Amazing.
And he made me feel like nothing I did was wrong. It was all just an option. I never got this, no, go back again and do it. Not that there's anything wrong with the director being picky like that. Yeah, that's totally fine. But I think by letting us all have fun, even off camera, you and me, all of us would be joking. And then Joe would come over and I'd be like, oh, stop joking. He's here. And he'd be like, no, keep having fun. And then when I saw the movie, like, I was like, he captured fun.
Yeah.
Like, there was a method behind it all. By letting us, like, loose to kind of relax and have fun, he captured this, like, playful energy that I think would have been hard to get if everyone was very tense, you know?
There's two scenes that where that comes to mind. There's the scene where Sonny's in Kate's hotel room and Javier Bardem comes knocking at the door.
Yeah.
And that just, you seem to be having such fun with that. It almost feels like it was improv'd, that bit where you're like,
oh no, that was an improv. No, and part of me is like, that was the least fun.
That was the worst day of my life.
No, that was just because, like, I think of like the ones and the actual Grand Prix days, probably the most fun. But no, that was the script. I'll give credit where it's due. That was all in the script. That was on a sound stage again, which was like, at this point, I was like, boring sound stages. I want to be on in Barcelona or wherever the hell we were.
I want to be able to hear the gears. Oh, they're in third gear. They should be in fifth at this point. I want to be able to discern that.
With the team,
And the other scene is a scene where Kate sits Sonny and Joshua down and basically says, guys, cut out the fucking bullshit and get on, which is such a fun scene.
Oh, you know,
for all three of you, I guess. That must have been a blast.
Such an amazing scene.
It was long. It was 2 days.
It was 2 days. We shot it in a bar in Mayfair, right?
It was so tiny. Oh, really?
Yeah. So we wasn't actually in Vegas.
Oh my god!
We flipped and flopped all over the place with this movie.
We cheated that one.
We did the Vegas months later, wasn't it? Like way later.
Yeah.
Vegas was in November, and we shot that in like June.
Yeah. I'd put on weight by the time we actually get to Vegas. Yeah. I was eating a lot of cookies.
And then also that room was very smoky.
Atmosphere. We all got sick.
Oh my god!
This is just our opportunity to complain. And we all got sick.
Yeah, it was just so smoky. I was like, Christ, like it was a challenge. And then also, obviously, continuity wise, with all the chips and the cards and stuff, it became a hullabaloo, that scene.
And we improvised a lot, you know. It was such a great moment because we had been teeing up to this, especially with me and Brad. It was like every single scene we were like, all right, let's try and be as mean as possible so we get that payoff in Vegas. And still, it's not fully, all right, we're best friends now, but you could see that there is hope there.
Yeah.
And if they do pull off that unity, then this team has a shot.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the way Kerry played that was just, it was just so classic. It's like, yeah, never send a man to a woman's job. Yeah. That's perfect.
I remember just being so exhausted. Yeah, it
was. I've got the complaint in your head now. You're like, man, how was
it? It was dialogue heavy and prop heavy.
Yeah, man, my shoes were tight.
Drinks, the whole lot. Yeah.
It was, yeah. And there were people at the product placement.
Yes.
I had to get the Heineken. The Heineken, yeah.
You had to make sure it was absolutely.
It was nice, yeah. Though. Yeah, it was like 00 Heineken, like non-alcoholic Heineken. I was back in it. Like, yeah.
Seems like a long time ago now.
This is what I love. You know, you guys, when you were doing the junket in June, be like, oh, what a great time. Now the honesty comes out. Now we know. Now yeah. We see what you guys
went
through.
Yeah, now it's the highest grossing sports movie of all time.
Yeah, precisely. Yay.
So yeah, let me talk shit about my film now.
No, I suppose just that, like, it's not all fun and games, and there are, like, it is work, and of isn't course, that, that, you know, you don't absolutely. See the challenges of those things. Yeah, and the music added to that scene, too. Oh, I think the music was great.
Yeah, so amazing.
When did you first see the finished thing?
Man, I didn't, you know what? I watched it in an editing.
Oh, I remember now. Yeah, sorry, go on.
An editing room in London by myself, two guys behind me. And I actually didn't want anyone in there, but I remember watching it. The popcorn kept running out, so I was pissed. but then the real time that I really took the movie in was in New York. Was it? What was that crowd?
Premiere.
4,500 people. Oh, and
Radio City
like
Music Hall. That was crazy.
Oh, my God.
And seeing that and just seeing everyone. And I remember Stefano was sat behind me. Just the way everyone was taking in the movie and just the laughter and they applauded during the scene when Kerry kissed.
At the end, I like know. That was cute.
Everything was paid off. Mm. Like everything we hoped an audience would take away from this movie, we experienced in that room. And that was when I realized that we had a banger.
I saw it on my own too initially. Mm. Yeah, it's hard when you watch a movie for the first time because obviously you're just looking at your own stuff personally anyways. And just like, so I think the second time was when I was able to step and watch it as a movie and not like pay attention to my own stuff so much.
Yeah. How many times have you seen the movie now?
I guess I saw it the first time in Santa Monica by myself. Second time was in Radio City Music Hall. I watched it in London at the premiere in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it.
Okay. Well, I got you beat by one then.
When did you watch it?
I've seen it four times.
When was the fourth?
It came on Apple, of course. And I watched at home.
Ah, that's sweet.
And I was like, let me see if I still get the goosebumps. And boom, I got the goosebumps.
Yay.
When Josh and Lewis are going down the straight in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. And a commentator's like, the rookie battles the seven-time world champion. And I was like, goosebumps again. So then I'm with Samson Keo, who played Cashman. I was with him yesterday. And I'm like, how many times have you seen it, mate? He's like, 17 times. I'm like,
cute.
Oh, he's rewinding reason, his parts.
Like, he's the reason he's made $631
million. Yeah, exactly.
He was such a good energy.
Samson Keo, a brilliant, brilliant actor.
Yeah,
and an amazing viewer.
And a great energy to have around, too.
Just the greatest,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, all the cast were just like great energies.
That's something that is, I think I'm taking from this for every movie I do. It's like that chemistry, when it's seamless, I mean, it's just, there's no regrets.
That's like, amazing.
Everything pulled, yeah, pulled off.
That
well.
Was the fun thing. Like, we all were having fun. And I think that was probably a casting thing. Like, everyone's face is very unique as well in the movie when you watch it. It's very well cast.
Yeah. Lewis was the one who really fought for that. He wanted this movie to represent the world of Formula One that he wants to see, you know, people from different backgrounds doing different jobs. And just from this movie as well, I could already hear rumblings of it moving in that direction in a big way.
Hopefully.
So that's exciting too.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your first, let's talk about Brad, because we haven't mentioned Brad that much, but what was your first big Brad moment?
Ooh.
Big bad Brad.
Big bad Brad.
Well, you would. I'm thinking of the read through, but that's not really a big moment. That was more of a read through.
I remember the first time I saw him, he was in costume walking into the garage.
Was he in slow motion?
He wasn't slow motion.
What was the scene?
No, we hadn't started film because remember, I met Brad before everyone because we trained for 4 months prior, but I was training in Rockingham. I won't talk bad about that. that place. I'm not going to say anything bad, but I was training there first, right? So they had me in prison first. And I get three caught, right? Stones flicking up on the straight, smacking my knuckle. I'm like, I'm not going to make it, right? So then we transitioned to Silverstone.
Right.
And I remember Brad walking in full-on costume, and he's looking at the car. He's walking around the car and stuff, and I'm like, in the deep end, I'm like sizing him up. I'm like, all right. Like the beef started from there. Like, I had beef
with
Brett. I was like, I'm going to do a method on this thing. Like, and I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it to me too. So I woke up, meet him, of course. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? Big hug. And I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be so hard to be cocky and be Joshua with this guy. And yeah, man, it really was. I mean, he's just the sweetest guy in the world, man. So accommodating. And just always championing you and wanting you to win. Yeah, that was my experience with Brad.
Can't remember what our first scene was, strangely. Can you? Oh, I can remember, actually, because we started.
Yeah.
It was Silverstone.
The calf thing?
The argument. And then the next day I did the pub scene with him. But we started at Silverstone and then we went on strike. Do you remember? That was our first.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah, my first time.
It was.
First scene before the strike. So Silverstone was July 9th, right? So then we shot for 2 days before the strike. Mm-hmm. But my first scene was the scene where I'm having to scream at Brad and call him old man.
Yeah. It was.
And I was like just improvising, calling them Dumbledore and David Attenborough.
Do you remember your helmet hit the screen and
I broke one of the screens in the carriage. Like, oh my gosh. And it was amazing. And I was like, all right, cool. This is the character. I'm feeling it now. We're juicing up. I was like, hey guys. So actors are on strike. See you in how long will it
be? It was like 9 months or something.
Okay. It was a long time. It was a long time. It was a long one.
Maybe six. I don't know.
That picture came out of us on the grid walking and it went everywhere.
We got quite a bit done. We did the pub scene before we went on strike two. That's first scene in the pub.
Yeah,
so we got a kind of a decent teaser amount. Out of that.
I know.
Because that's all the footage we had.
So Joe put that nice teaser together and that was just put that out there a year before even coming back to start the movie again. Like, genius everything worked out.
That seems like wild. Yeah, I think that was my first memory of him, was that scene. But again, that was such a big scene. There was so many cast members and there was so much going on that there was like, I was barely registering him at that moment.
Movies are really interesting. And now I haven't done many, but and my experiences on films is you never really know the guy. Even on the last day, for me anyway, and certainly not in the beginning. And then after one day of being like, just kind of teasing and dancing and flirting with the character, for someone to say, go away and come back, is like, I never want to experience that ever again.
I know, but in a way it was great because Joe, like he's so, nothing like, deters him or you know whatever, I can't think of that. I'm so jet lagged, I don't know how to speak English. But basically he used it to his advantage. He shot all the stunt work and the second unit stuff, and so he rose to the challenge. He didn't go, oh man, now what am I going to do? So all that stunt stuff, it was like they had so much time. And even he was shooting like inserts, like the producers were like, ah, Joe, what are you doing? He's like shooting like so he shot everything. And that I don't think, you know, that was a wonderful opportunity for him as a director. Calm. Yeah, he used it to his advantage.
Calm, cool guy, man. Meanwhile,
totally.
I'm back in LA getting fat, like eating ice cream, crying.
They were so relaxed.
Watching Drive to Survive, like, they're never going to call me back. They're going to look at that first day and say I was shit. They're going to cast Daniel Kaluuya.
I know, but then they couldn't have because Silverstone.
Well, no, they could. Yeah, they could have. They could have. We only did 1 or 2 days.
I know.
They could have looked at that and been like,
yeah.
Yeah. But all's well that ends well. So, Damson, when you seem to have been eating quite a lot in that break then, were there problems when you had to squeeze back into the suit and into the car?
You know what is so funny? So I lost 10 kg for this part, right?
Okay.
Because obviously the drivers are so small. They're all right, under 80. So I got down to like 77. Do you remember when I was like intermittent fasting for like 30 hours and stuff? And everyone was like, damn, Sinead. And I was like, no, the drivers have to be skinny.
Yeah, they
like,
do.
but Joe didn't care. But I was doing it for myself. And so then during the strike, I definitely put it back on big time. Like I ate well. And then when we got back, I lost it again.
You had your surgery too.
I did have surgery, yeah. A lot happened during the strike.
The strike, did you make the strike happen so you could...
We just said it was awful.
Yeah, I know,
it sounds to me like you've orchestrated this whole thing so you could go some surgery.
And eat. My birthday was the 2nd of September too. I was like, come on, I want the day off for my birthday.
Guys, I've got to let you go in a second, but we've asked about your first day. What was your last day on this movie?
Oh, the last day was hard.
What's the last day?
Really? Okay, it would have been Abu Dhabi for sure, because we all wrapped in Abu Dhabi.
I remember. Yeah.
And I can't remember, what was the last scene that we did?
The last scene for me Joshua trying to figure out why he crashed in Monza. So you remember when he crashed? That was, and I actually wrapped the movie. I was the last shot.
Yes.
So Brad walks up to me and he's like, all right, mate. And I'm like, where are you going? And he's like, I've wrapped. I was like, what do you mean you've wrapped? Like, you're the lead. No, you got to wait until, he's like, I got a flight to catch, man. Call me whenever.
I remember, and I like that scene, actually.
Really cool. And it was Brad's idea.
When you remember.
Brad, like, and Didi.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot.
It showed Joshua is, you know, he's a real racer, you know, and he's figuring stuff out by himself. And that was a moment where he realized that he was in the wrong.
It's a good scene.
Yeah, that was my last scene.
Oh, I remember that because we were all stuck in that studio for 14 hours.
Oh, yeah.
My last scene initially was the goodbye to Brad on the rooftop. You know, it was a nice.
Okay.
But then we had to go and reshoot some of the pit wall scenes in the same studio that he was doing it. So we ended, but it was kind of cute ending the pit wall scene together to do the Abu Dhabi race together one more time. Yeah, because I was so close to all those lads in the pit wall.
Oh, lovely.
It was a nice little one to end
on. It's where you started. It's where you finished as well. Amazing. And guys, obviously the movie's been a huge success. So there's been talk, you know, Jerry was saying that they're looking into a sequel.
I hope so.
Yeah, which they can't call F2 for obvious reasons. But
what would you call it?
I don't know, man. F1, The Adventure Continues.
That's cool.
Something like that. I don't know.
The Adventure
That's Continues. That's
good. The Championship.
The second lap. Oh, there we go.
Well, it would be great to see all the people from F1 again. Like, because honestly, I don't think I can go to an F1 race because it's too sad.
Oh, man.
Do you know, it's like, where are the crew?
Oh, I'm
where
there,
are the cameras?
Man. Yeah.
I'm so there every chance I get milking
I
it.
Am. Yeah. Oh, I can't. I'd be like, oh, it's so too sad. So I'd love to go back and see all those people. They were so nice to us. Yeah. They were so, so nice to us. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, fingers crossed, you know, we'll see you down the road, to quote the film. But before I let you go, wrap gifts. I don't have any for you, but what did you get? So did you get wrap gifts?
I did. I got him. I own a luxury jewelry brand called Didris.
Okay.
So I gave Brad gold ring. Yeah.
I didn't give him anything.
He wore it to the premiere as well.
You're not meant to give Brad stuff. What did you get? He's got everything.
Oh, he got me some headphones.
We got a cool helmet.
I got a bunch of stuff.
We got the cool helmet. That cute little thing.
I got a bunch
thing.
Of stuff from Brad. Yeah. I'm going to get some more though. I got his number now, so I'm going to get some more.
We were very spoiled.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, guys, you got some light admin to go. You've got to update your IMDb mini bios. So go off and do that. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Kerry, thanks so much.
Thank you
so much.
All right, that was Kerry Condon and Damson Idris, stars of F1. And that is it for this F1 interview special. Our F1 spoiler special featuring an interview with Joseph Kosinski is available to spoiler special subscribers and is well worth your time. If you haven't subscribed already, then check it out. It's £3.49 a month for access to all of Empire's spoiler specials, both upcoming and past. Oh, and check out an upcoming issue of Empire for another interview with Joseph Kosinski about the film and much, much more. F1 is out on digital formats and, of course, Apple TV right now. And if you haven't seen it, put yourself in pole position to do so right now. Okay, that's enough for me. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.